Fertility Friday on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with Sims IVF. Find information and resources that can empower you on your reproductive journey. Fertility testing available with 6 clinics nationwide. See sims.ie.
Tara Murphy is with us today from Sims IVF. She is a fertility midwife there. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you, Trina?
We're going to talk today about fertility testing and the benefits of it. I guess it's something that many people should consider getting done, no matter at what point they're at, whether it's, you know, they've been trying for a baby for a while or they just want, they're just curious about their fertility.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. So I think the testing is beneficial either at the start of trying to conceive, you know, naturally, or obviously if unfortunately you haven't been able to conceive within a certain amount of time, then the testing is beneficial there as well. Mm-hmm. If someone is deciding that they want to try start a family, there's some very non-invasive investigations they can do that are very simple. For the lady, it could be a very simple AMH test. So looking at a hormone that her ovaries produce and giving us a good indication of her reserve for her age, so her egg reserve. We can also check her tubes, see if they're opened. Again, not a very invasive investigation. And then for the men, if we just get a semen sample, we can check so much in that sample. And even just those basic tests will give us an idea of, you know, A, can the couple try naturally? Because if something comes up abnormal in those tests, then straight away it might be a different road for them, you know?
Okay, and you don't want to lose time, so you can get cracking on it.
Yeah, exactly. Like with women who are under 35, we say that you can try for a year. And if you haven't conceived within the year, then to, you know, refer yourself into a GP or a fertility clinic. Whereas if you're over 35, unfortunately, the time frame would be around 6 months where you should be thinking of getting help or investigations done.
Okay. What would a normal result on an AMH be?
There isn't a norm. Really, you need to look at the age and the woman and then go from there. There are standard ratios and values, but it depends on if the woman is polycystic and her age and things like that. So we can, you know, say, for example, an age of maybe 33, 32, you'd maybe expect her AMH to be in and around 8 or 10. But then you could have a woman coming back with 35. And, you know, we can still work with that. It's when the AMH really starts to drop. And unfortunately, we can see that happening when you kind of go over the age of 35 and you're coming towards 40. And we would see a lot less or lower AMHs around 2s and 3s and things like that.
Okay. And would that be too low then to conceive?
No, well, like it's never. So you could have a woman, and we've seen this a lot, who is 28 and her AMH is 3. What is going well for her there is her age. It's the age of the egg, the quality. So like with those women, you'd be fairly confident that even though her AMH is low, she has young eggs. So her chances of conceiving are higher. Whereas if you're 38, 39 is going into your 40s and your AMH is low, you're battling with a low reserve and a poor egg quality.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that we can't get them pregnant. It's just the chances are lower and we might need to add in more treatments just to help them get to a stage of conceiving.
Okay. And is there a better chance then of holding on to a pregnancy as well, kind of the better the AMH, or does that matter?
Well, no, not necessarily. It's down to unfortunately the age of the woman. So
okay.
As a woman increases, the egg quality decreases, and then unfortunately that can lead to an increased risk of miscarriage or chromosomal abnormalities within the embryo. So it really, a lot of the time it does follow suit with the age of the woman.
Now, there's many tests that you can have done, and actually that one that you mentioned there, which is it's the most basic
AMH
one really you can have,
yeah,
the fertility package that Sims do, and it's not crazy money. You know, the way people think, oh,
no,
I wouldn't even inquire about this because it'll be, we're talking thousands here. It's not that at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, it's not. And the turnaround for the results is very quick as well. You know, we can get our AMHs back within 3 to 5 days. When someone comes in for a scan, we see what is there straight away, and a semen analysis can be reported on within a day. So there are things that are financially available to most people, and then the results come back quickly. So, you know, they know straight away, yeah, I can go off and try for a year and everything seems okay at the moment, or no, I think I need intervention. I need some help with conceiving.
Ovulation testing is something that I think a lot of women will do at home. They'll buy those sticks at home if they're trying to conceive, and can sometimes get a bit obsessed with it as well. Are they worth doing?
I do think the LH testing is a good way of checking your ovulation. What I don't think is very accurate is the ovulation apps. So the apps that track, because they're not picking up on the woman's temperature, the mucus, any pains, any changes in the urine. So none of that is being taken into account when it comes to these apps. And unfortunately, the window of ovulation where the egg needs to be fertilized, it's so short. It's only 12 to 24 hours. And if you miss that window, that's it. You know, you're not going to conceive again in that month. Mm. And unfortunately, the apps are just working back on hindsight from the last cycle. They're not picking up on anything that's happening in the body. So even if they're off by a day, 2 days, that's it. It's the window missed.
I wondered what the point of those was, using an app. I said, how can an app tell you what your body's doing?
It doesn't. Whereas now, to be fair, the LH kits, they do. They're quite accurate at picking up the surges leading to ovulation. The only women that it may not work as well for is women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, because they produce a higher amount of luteinizing hormone. And that is what the kits are testing, is luteinizing. Right. Hormone.
Okay.
Yeah. So for women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome, if it doesn't seem the kits are working, they're probably not. You know, they're probably aren't gauging her cycle well enough. But I do think the kits are useful, definitely.
And would it matter whether you're buying kind of the top of the range expensive ones or a cheap L one from, you know, Pound Shop or whatever?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard any feedback that one is like worse than the other. And a lot of people will be ordering kind of bulks of them online because, you know, you could be testing for a couple of months and, you know, that could be a lot of urine sticks that you're using. So I think all the tests seem to be okay. Obviously, if they're just some like a brand that is equipped to deal with it, then it should be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thyroid stimulating hormone testing. What's this now?
So if your thyroid stimulating hormone is too low or too high, it can impact on fertility. So we would check this on women who are, if someone has picked up that they're having an issue or they haven't been able to conceive in a time frame, we will check a range of bloods that your GP can do or the fertility clinic can do. But if your TSH is too high, it can reduce your chances of getting pregnant. So then you would be put on a medication called Eltroxin. You'd be put on it for 4 weeks. We would check the results again. If the dose is working that we've given, then you just maintain on that dose. And obviously, if the dose isn't managing the TSH or reducing the value, we would just increase the dose as well. Sometimes if the TSH is very high or we can't manage it, then we would refer out to an endocrinologist.
Okay. There's another test as well. And I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm just going to... Is it cis test, saline infusion? Oh, what's that?
Yeah, so the high COSI sometimes is called as well, or the saline infusion sonography. So this is very similar to a vaginal scan. It's just that while we are scanning, we also check the cavity. So we would insert fluid into the cavity, and then we would insert a different type of fluid into the tubes. And this helps us to see, are the tubes patent and flowing? So you're checking your uterus, making sure it's normal, no fibroids, no polyps within the uterus, because if there are fibroids and polyps within the uterus, depending on where they are, they will be stopping implantation. So you might be conceiving fine, there might be an embryo there, but then it has issues implanting because these structures are within the lining. And then if your cavity is clear, we check the tubes. If your tubes are blocked, it's going to cause issues for various reasons. The sperm can't get to the egg can't come down the tube. So usually you're not going to have fertilization if the tubes are blocked. So it could be one tube, both tubes. And obviously, if we find out that one is blocked, you know, they could still work with maybe an IUI cycle where we know where the follicle is growing on, say, the left ovary. And if the left tube is open, we can still work with that. But for example, if the left tube is blocked and the left ovary is producing the follicle, we know that that cycle is not going to get that patient pregnant. Okay. So it's a very good test, quite non-invasive as well. It's usually done within 20 minutes or so, and you just get a lot of information from it.
Mm-hmm. What is the test actually, Tara? Someone's mentioned this to me before about killer cells. Some women have these. What is that?
So the natural T killer cells. So if your natural T killer cells are high in your system, This can sometimes cause you to fight a pregnancy. So you might have passed all the steps, conceived, implanted, and you're pregnant, and then you might be a patient that's suffering with recurrent miscarriages. And sometimes this can be the reason for it, where your own body basically is attacking the pregnancy because these cells are raised in your body. So there are medications, something simple as steroids sometimes can help, or intralipids is another infusion that we give women just to basically dampen down, calm down your immune system, and like reduce it a little bit. And then hopefully that will lead to you not fighting the pregnancy, you know, your okay. body not rejecting the pregnancy and thus leading to a miscarriage.
Okay. And is that medication that's taken after you conceive or is it beforehand?
So usually with the steroids, you'd be on it coming close to the implantation stage, and similar with the intralipid infusion, it'd be around right. implantation stage, and then steroids will continue until potentially 8, 10, 12 weeks of pregnancy, whereas intralipid infusions is only 3 of them done in the course of about a 3-week period. So yeah, it's an additional add-on, but we've seen it being very worthwhile for some patients.
Tara, a lot of people say about the medication they go on when they're going through their fertility journey that it can just make them crazy. They're crying at the telly, they're not themselves, they're finding it yeah. hard to cope and work. It's a big thing, isn't it? It's a tough out road.
It is. Now, I have to say, I've been working fertility for 10 years. The majority seem to get on okay. You'll have some who will have mild headaches here and there towards the end of the treatment. So you could be on the injections for 10, 12 days. Towards the end, women will get bloated. And that's just natural because your ovaries are producing more follicles than in a normal natural cycle. When you have increased estrogen, you are more hormonal. You're a bit more moody. You're more emotional. You can be more sensitive to touch and pain. We would see that with the high estradiol. However, the majority seem to, a lot of them would say, I don't even know I'm doing anything. You know,
really, yeah,
bar taking yeah. the injections, they're, yeah, it's just towards the end, they just find they're bloated, uncomfortable in their pants, a bit more tired, but the majority seem to get on okay. I think a lot of it is just getting over the hurdle of the first few nights of injections, because it can be so daunting to inject yourself
yeah.
Or getting your partner to inject. But usually once they get over the first few nights of that, they seem to fly through it, to be honest. It's more the emotional side, I think, that most people find hard in comparison to the physical
I'm
side
sure.
of it.
Have yeah. you come across couples where, because you always hear of the struggles and people, oh, they tried IVF so many times. Have you come across,
yeah.
I'm sure you have. Have you come across couples where it was almost quite easy? In they went and got everything sorted, and next thing they were pregnant and they had a healthy pregnancy.
Yeah, I have sometimes seen women who struggling and IVF doesn't seem to be working for whatever reason, and then suddenly they get naturally pregnant. So we've seen that sometimes, and we love hearing those stories. We love when the patients come back and tell us this, because everyone in a fertility clinic just wants the patient to get pregnant. We don't
yeah.
care how it happens, you know, but we would have seen it. Now, a lot of time, if fertility isn't working for someone, it could be the cause that the sperm quality, it just can't be improved, and then those individuals would move on potentially, if they wanted to use it, their sperm donation. And similar as well with the eggs, unfortunately, if a woman is late 30s, early 40s, and unfortunately the egg quality just keeps leading to failed fertilization or early miscarriages, again they can move on down the road of egg donation if they wish to.
Mm-hmm.
And usually those two things will help when there is such a strong sperm and egg quality issue.
But in terms of actually going in to get IVF, for some people, is it quite a quick journey? And when they go into you guys and they find themselves pregnant through IVF fairly quickly?
Yeah, we do see the cases of coming in for the first cycle and pregnant, you know. It's so nice to see, because they're nearly in shock themselves. I think a lot of people will build themselves up for, you know, it not to work in the first round, and that's normal, to guard yourself and kind of protect yourself emotionally. I think the process is quite quick. People are usually surprised that they've started, you know. They come in for the consultation. It could be a few weeks of getting results and, you know, the various investigations that the doctor will order. And then you could be starting treatment within a month or two of getting the results back. So it's quite quick. What people need to know is that we need to work usually with their periods. So you know that if you met the doctor on Monday and they said, yeah, we have a treatment plan ready for you, unfortunately, the reality is we won't be able to probably start on a Tuesday. We have to wait for the patient's period. So
yeah,
if that's 3 weeks, that's where it is. Yeah.
yeah.
And that's where it can slow some people down. And it's unfortunate. But I think when people understand, you know, they're fine with it, and they understand it then.
Yeah. And then, Tara, male fertility testing. What is available there in Sims IVF?
Yeah, so there's, again, there's the simple semen analysis test I was discussing earlier. So that can be very simple. Don't need to be coming in for fertility treatment to do that. With the semen analysis, you're checking the sperm count. So is the count, is it good? You know, is it normal? Is it above average? You're also checking the motility of the sperm. So the sperms swim and the lab technicians will assess the quality, A, how many sperm are swimming, because they're not all going to be swimming, and B, are they swimming in the right direction? Are they swimming well? So if you have a sperm that's swimming around in circles, that sperm more than likely wouldn't fertilize an egg.
Okay.
And then they also look at the size and the shape of the sperm, because if it's abnormally big, or there could be two heads on one sperm, various things that sound really abnormal to us, but it's very normal for people assessing the sperm. If they pick up on those things, then again, it might be another reason why someone isn't getting pregnant in regards to the sperm quality.
And there's nothing really that can be done to improve that.
In regards to sperm quality, some things can change and increase the quality of the sperm. Simple things such as if the male is overweight, reducing the BMI might help sperm quality. Also reducing alcohol and smoking, that is linked with poor sperm quality. So if they reduce them, cut them out of lives, it can also help. In regards to men as well, it is proven that if obviously the sperm is stored in the testicles, if the testicles are exposed to really hot temperatures all the time, it can affect the sperm quality as well. So there are actually a few things that can help the sperm quality. Another one is a vitamin called zinc. If a male is low in their zinc vitamin, it can impact on the sperm quality as well. So sometimes, you know, it's thought that, you know, you can't change the sperm, but there is actually things that if you reduce, cut out of your life, it can improve the quality of the sperm.
There's a lot of supplements actually available in chemists now. You see a whole section for men and for women who are trying to conceive. Are they worth checking?
The main things that we really focus on here within Sims, and I presume a lot of fertility clinics, is make sure the woman is on high dose folic acid or just folic acid, vitamin B complex and a vitamin D. They are the main things that you need going forward in a pregnancy. And even you could go to a GP if you're pregnant, and they will make sure that you're on those vitamins. And you know, they're not going to worry about what else is in the multivitamin as long as you're taking them. In regards to the men as well, the zinc vitamin, vitamin C, if they're getting them, it's great. There are a lot of brands out there, and it is good to be on a multivitamin, but as long as you're hitting those vitamins in your diet and getting them, they're the real important ones going forward for a pregnancy.
Okay. Well, it's been super catching up. Tara Murphy there, who is a fertility midwife at Sims IVF. You never know what her day is going to look like now. You could be giving news to people about a pregnancy as soon as we get off the phone. You never know.
Yeah, you could. Everything changes from like day to day inside here. And unfortunately, every day we're getting test results. Some are good, some are bad. So yeah, you never know what the day holds ahead of you.
Okay, well, fingers crossed for some good results for couples who are trying to conceive. Tara, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks, Trina, for having me.
Fertility Friday on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with Sims IVF. Find information and resources that can empower you on your reproductive journey. Fertility testing available with 6 clinics nationwide. See sims.ie.